Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with you, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schumer. How are we doing today?
Blessed in Christ and excited about this coming show.
Yeah, me too. Amen, amen. Also with us, as always, is show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing today, bro?
I got my Ricola. I'm doing good.
Yeah, amen. I know you're getting a little better and a little worse at the same time, yeah. Tony, but...
It can't figure itself out.
But nonetheless, all creation is groaning for our redemption. So we are excited about this show. I wanted to tell you guys a little bit before we get into the show is that we are getting really close to a number of things. One, the radio network is about to launch. It's not that far off. Tony's been working really hard, so we want to keep you guys updated on that as much as we can. We also, you guys should already have seen our ministry update, okay? We uploaded that to our YouTube channel, our normal YouTube channel, okay? If you're listening to this through podcast, you're probably saying, hey, which YouTube channel? Is it the Good Fight Radio Show YouTube channel or is it the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel? It will be on the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel, the ministry update, to let you guys know what we got coming, Lord willing, what the Lord has coming through us over this next year or so. So we're really excited about that. We also want to tell you guys about a sponsor of the ministry, somebody who's blessed us totally. And it's not just somebody who said, hey, I want to throw money at you, but somebody who's been blessed by the ministry and by Blessed Hope Chapel. And that is Bennett's Honey Farm. They've been such a blessing to us. And it's something that Chip Van Oy from there is doing. And he did it through our church at Blessed Hope Chapel, where he's given out these honey. It's honey because that's what he has, is a honey farm, and it has scripture on it because he wants scripture in every house and he wants people to be evangelical. He wants believers to have their honey and to sell their honey. Is it called Heavenly Honey?
Heavenly Honey.
And he wants people to go out, take this honey, and maybe give it to their neighbor and talk about the verse that's on there or something. It's a great way to be evangelical, and we're really blessed by them. We've been blessed by them just in a myriad of ways. So I wanted to throw that out there for you guys, and you guys can see them on our website as well. Tony's added them to our website. So now that we got the laundry done, it's time to get right into this. And one of the biggest stories this last week has been the fact that Hollywood got absolutely hammered at the Golden Globes. Not just drunk, because I'm sure a lot of them were, or on pills, or nonetheless, because they have to cope with the copious amounts of evil that they push out into the world. But nonetheless, Mr. Ricky Gervais had his way with them, and everyone was talking about it. I saw it all over Twitter.
He was the host,
and he was the host with the most amount of jokes aimed right at the audience. And in a lot of the fashion they don't like, okay?
A lot of truth came out
in the sense that he was pointing out a lot of their hypocrisy and telling them, you aren't real people. Stop acting like it. And one of the quotes said this, and it says, so, if you do an award tonight, don't use it as a political platform to make a political speech. You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So if you win, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and blank off. Okay? Now, he also made a joke regarding Epstein and him not killing himself. And when the audience there groaned at the Jeffrey Epstein joke, he replied with, oh, well, he's one of your guys' friends. And I actually think that's really interesting because I don't think a lot of these things are that secret when it comes to what's going in Hollywood to one another. I think a lot of them know exactly what's going on, and I think that has been proven over and over again when it comes to a lot of those in Hollywood. When you can go and turn on, in 2005, you could have turned on a Family Guy episode. I believe it was season 4, episode 4, and Stewie's running out naked, and he said, I got out of who? Kevin Spacey's basement. Mind you, that's 2005.
Yeah, almost 15 years earlier.
And 2019, do we even find out that Kevin Spacey, and by the way, everyone who's accused him has now pretty much dropped dead, but nonetheless, guys, this is something so serious. And then Harvey Weinstein was recently in the news because he was taken to court, and of course he's got his walker on now, and you know, it looks like he's trying to push his own little narrative there. But
yeah, if Washington's the swamp, Hollywood's a cesspool. These are creatures of the cesspool. And a lot of them rub shoulders. A lot of them keep secrets. A lot of people knew about Weinstein. A lot of people knew about Epstein. We were blowing up Epstein a long time ago before it was actually exposed radically publicly more recently. But it's because we do research. And we knew a lot of these guys know what's going on, but they just pat each other on the back. And then they, you know, they cry a foul and they back up for certain people to a degree. But it's, they're all, you know, many of them are hand in hand together.
Yeah, I remember... You know, it actually came up to me on Instagram, and it said, you know, Whitney Cummings, she's a profane comedian, had jokes about Harvey Weinstein, right? And she said these jokes on the Howard Stern show, both just absolutely profane people. I wouldn't suggest anyone listening to
them. Yeah, the same with Gervais. He's no saint. And in fact, he's very anti-Christ. He's part of the this godless, demonic system himself.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what
we talked a little bit about him, and because he's a godless atheist who promotes atheism among young people in all ages and is turning people away from God as well.
No, yeah. And I hadn't even gotten to that yet. And one of the things that bothered me is the fact that all these comedians can joke about these things. And then when it comes to light, everyone goes, oh, who knew? And yet it looks like all those in Hollywood knew. They were joking about it.
Yeah.
Basically, many
of them.
Yeah. A lot of her jokes were, oh, well, you got to sleep with Harvey Weinstein to get a good spot. And then you have people like Meryl Streep saying, I want to thank God, Harvey Weinstein, calling Harvey Weinstein God.
Yeah.
And in her acceptance speech. I mean, this is just absolutely disgusting when you guys really see it. And the fact that, oh, well, I think it's funny that Seth MacFarlane puts this into Family Guy. Oh, you do think it's funny that he knows that this stuff's going on, and yet he just hides it in a joke. And no one gets exposed for it. It's just we get to laugh about it. And I think it's pathetic. And what's interesting is I saw a lot of believers sharing the Ricky Gervais thing, because a lot of it, there was a lot of truth to what he was saying to them.
There's a lot of perverse things he said too, though. I mean, that we can't even repeat. On
yeah,
the show.
100%. There's a lot of perversity.
So he's no hero.
Even that quote, what he was cussing in the quote that I shared. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that he is a God hater. It's not just that he
absolutely
is an atheist or agnostic. This man hates God. And I can tell you, from I came to the Lord in 2009, and I went to with a buddy of mine named Chad as well. We went to go see a movie, and it was called The Invention of Lying. I thought, hey, I'll check this out. Didn't know anything about Ricky Gervais. Didn't know what the movie was about, but I was like, hey, I'll go check it out. We go to see it, and my buddy Chad, not too long into the movie, said, oh, I see what's going on. And I was like, yeah, I see what's going on too. Let's go. And we walked out of the movie. And that's because in this movie, The Invention of Lying, the entire premise is that nobody in whatever universe they created for the movie, nobody there knew what lying was, except for Ricky Gervais, who comes up with this idea of lying to get out of things or to get new positions. But the main lie that they put over the entire movie was the afterlife, because he promises his dying grandmother that, guess what, you're going to go up in the clouds, and tries to make it a caricature, a total misrepresentation of what we would say heaven would look like. We wouldn't say it in any way, shape, or form that he said it. But nonetheless, he uses this, and the entire premise is to, and I believe he is a child of disobedience, and he is being used by the principality of the air to do exactly that, malign what God's word actually says concerning the afterlife. And so not only I knew Ricky Gervais after that, because I started researching him. I'm like, this guy hates God. Like, forget, oh, he's just an atheist, you know, he just doesn't believe. No, this guy is a God hater. And I know, Tony, you said you were looking up some of the quotes he had as well.
Yeah, about 6 years ago in The Hollywood Reporter, he's quoted as saying, we shouldn't even need the word atheism. If people didn't invent ridiculous imagery, imaginary gods, rational people wouldn't have to deny them.
Now, rational people wouldn't have to deny it if they didn't believe. What do you think about that, Joe?
Well, I think it's funny because he's a very good liar, because he acts as though if you study science, you're automatically going to be an atheist. And he knows quite well that if you have a Mount Rushmore of the greatest scientists from just a strictly materialistic scientific man, yeah, you could take the scientists that are godless atheists, and just interview them. And by the way, there's many, especially the physicists, the cosmologists, and so forth, that the heavyweights of the scientists are typically, historically speaking, creationists, you know, special design people, people that recognize there's a designer. But if you were to ask the top cosmologists through the centuries, last 100 years, and even, you know, a lot of the top scientists, who the top scientists are, most people, if you got two faces on the Mount Rushmore of science, it's going to be Sir Isaac Newton and it's going to be Albert Einstein. Those are the first two names that almost always come up. And guess what? Both of them believed that it wasn't an accident, that the laws of the universe were created by God. Okay, now they had different understandings of who God was. Sir Isaac Newton claimed to be that was the God of the Bible. Einstein seemed to be somewhat pantheistic, although he had denied that in some interviews and so forth, but he did believe in a creator. I've got several quotes from each of them. I'm only going to use a couple. This is Sir Isaac Newton's most famous quote of this, as far as his belief in God. This most beautiful, he says, this most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. Now, we're going to play some audio clips in a minute of Gervais, but it's interesting because Isaac Newton wrote all kinds of commentary in the Bible, and he was convinced that the Bible had prophecy correct and that God had inspired the Bible. His Christology differs than mine quite drastically, but he was a strong believer in theism, and that the God of the creation had inspired the Bible. And that guy, if you just Wikipedia his name, you know, you just do an, go to Encyclopedia Britannica, it's a little bit better there, but you'll see that, I mean, all of his inventions and all of his breakthroughs. But what's interesting is Einstein hated, now that's another way these guys lie, he hated the idea, that he even stated that, he said, well, I know what I hate, is that people try, that other atheist would say that he was an atheist, he said, well, I'm not an atheist. And guess what? Richard Dawkins did it even after he said he hates it when people do that. You know, these guys, but guess what? Richard Dawkins doesn't fear God. He doesn't believe in God. So he can do what he wills, right? Well, Einstein, when he was asked, do you believe in the God of Spinoza? Because he came out saying he believed in a creator. He said, I can't answer with a simple yes or no. I'm not an atheist. I don't think I can call myself a pantheist. That's that, you know, everything is God. We are all in a position of a little child, entering a huge library filled with books in many different languages. And that's before Einstein understood the millions of miles that the DNA in just one person written code as to what we're going to look like, sound like, how big, how small, whatever we are, is in our one body. You know, he didn't understand that, but he says, but we're like, you know, a little child entering a room filled with many books and languages. The child knows someone must have written those books. See, even a child could see that. In other words, you have to be in utter denial, like Ricky Gervais, ignoring the obvious evidence to be an atheist. It does not know how, he says. Einstein goes on to say, the child dimly suspects a mysterious order in the arrangement of the books, but doesn't know what it is. That, it seems to me, is the attitude of even the most intelligent human being toward God. Yeah. So he's saying even the most intelligent human being has that attitude toward God. He obviously went to view Gervais and Dawkins as intelligent human beings. So when they talk about science and, well, you know, scientists say, they're hoping people are ignorant and haven't really studied the issue and think that there's no scientists and would be ignorant to the fact that the greatest scientists that ever lived have said, hey, the existence of God is quite obvious. I mean, he goes on to say, Einstein, we see a universe marvelously arranged and obeying certain laws, but only dimly understand these laws. Our limited minds can grasp the mysterious force and moves the constellations. Now, it's interesting because Antony Flew, he was the most highly regarded atheist debater of this last, you know, the last generation. And he wrote a book. You guys remember the name of the book? He wrote a book called There Is a God. And he was, for 30 years, he was debating, the top debater among the atheists. I mean, they wouldn't use Richard Dawkins. They would use him. You know, Richard Dawkins couldn't even stand in his shadow as a debater because he's so philosophically inept. There is a God, he says in this book, the name of the book's There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. And I'm not going to read the quotes, but you have quote after quote after quote in the book where he talks about what we now know after 50 years of researching the DNA. He says, now there's no way we can explain this away by chance. There had to be someone who put it together that has to be a God. So this is amazing. Well, the God of the Bible, we didn't need Einstein. We didn't need Newton. We didn't need the recantation, the renouncing of atheism by Antony Flew, the greatest debater of atheism. We just need the word of God. And we need to just look at his creation. God's word says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There's no one who does good. So, you know, basically, it's kind of like what Jesus said, that they hate the light. It's kind of like what Romans says. There's no excuse for them because they want to do their deeds of evil. So you want to say, hey, there's no God, and play pretend. Let's just pretend there's no God so they can get away with evil. In fact, Romans 1, 18 through 24 says this, and I think this is just one of my favorite passages, as it is with, I'm sure, many on the proof, the evidence that there's a God. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, and that Greek word means to hold down, that you're holding something down. An atheist isn't just casually saying, yeah, I just don't believe in God. They're actually holding down the truth because they don't want to face it. Because with the megaphone, God constantly, with all the design and order we see that's beyond what any human could even conceive of making all around us, you have to hold that knowledge down. Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, it's not right. It's immoral. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. So God has made evidence of himself as a creator with evidence within Gervais and other atheists. He's made it known, and they're holding it down. Verse 24, since, and he gives the conjunction therefore, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. I want to keep reading there, but I'm not going to, because I want to get to some of these clips. But let's go ahead and play the first clip, because he's being interviewed by Colbert on his show, and Colbert's claimed to be, you know, a theist, one who believes in God, although he does a really weak job of really standing up for the truth. Hope maybe he's just trying to be kind to his guest.
He's a liberal Catholic.
Yeah, he's very liberal Catholic.
So I'm not expecting
and
much.
Then you kind of wonder if he's really, you know, I'm not going to judge his motives there, but kind of interesting interview. And he just kind of lets him go on and rant. But I want to play the body of, you know, base the main parts of the interview here, and then let's address his arguments, because he has a lot of his atheistic fans in the audience just, you know, just lapping it up and clapping like, yeah, he's made these great, brilliant points. But you look at what he says and you think about it, you go, these are really, really weak points. Let's check it out. Let's play that first clip, Tony.
About hell before, about this tweet about you going to hell.
Yeah.
I know that you're an atheist, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. People have been debating. That's the devil waiting for you in hell, by the way. Would you want to debate the existence of God? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ricky Gervais, why is there something instead of nothing?
That makes no sense
you
at all.
You have to answer
my
question.
That's not the two choices.
No, it's but the choices I'm giving you, I'm the host.
Well, I don't...
You want to concede the debate? Why is there something instead of nothing?
Hold on.
Yes?
What do you mean, out of nothing? What do you
why is there something instead of why is there nothing? Why does the universe exist at all? Why is there something?
But surely the bigger question is not why, but how? Well, why is it relevant?
Okay, fine. How is there something? Because you think of God as the prime mover. How is there anything instead of nothing?
I don't. This is a ridiculous.
Is there a
premise.
Prime mover? Is there a demiurge that started everything?
Well, outside science and nature, I don't believe so. Because the interesting thing is, this is the thing, right? So, I'm an agnostic atheist, technically. Agnostics mean it means no one knows whether there's a God. So everyone's technically agnostic. We don't know.
That's true.
An agnostic atheist is someone who doesn't know there's a God or not, as no one does.
So you're not convicted of your atheism?
Well, I am.
Sure.
No, I am, because atheism is only rejecting the claim that there is a God. Atheism isn't a belief system. Mm-hmm. So this is atheism in a nutshell. You say there's a God. I say, can you prove that? You say no. I say, I don't believe you then. Mm-hmm. So... you believe in one God, I assume?
In three persons, but go ahead.
Okay, so you believe... Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but there are about 3,000 to choose from that have been, you know, people who believe in...
I've done some reading, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically, you believe in... You deny one less God than I do. You don't believe in 2,999 gods, and I don't believe in just one more.
Right.
Just yeah. So bad. Wow. I mean, it's just like it's a microcosm of bad internet argumentation. But anyways, you were gonna go.
No, exactly. I mean, first of all, he slides. Well, really, I'm an agnostic, because he realized how ridiculous it sounds to even say you're an atheist. It's like an ant going out of its ant hole and saying, I don't see God around, so I'm gonna go tell the other ants I didn't see God, so there can't be a God. There's no evidence that there's no God. So it sounds ridiculous. So then they say, well, I'm an atheist, which, you know, comes, you know, just means ignorant of whether there's a God or not. They says everyone's
agnostic.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Agnostic, which comes from the word, you know, ignoramus, and means to be ignorant. And he's saying, you know, that's fine. He's saying you want to say you're agnostic. Great. Then don't say you're an atheist, because he knows it's untenable to say he's atheist. But then he slides back into atheism as though it's tenable. So he plays, there's a little trickery there. But he has a lot of bad argumentation, but his main argument there that he tried to stick him with was, hey, you know what? There's, you know, a lot of people believe in 3,000, there's 30,000 gods. And actually, it's funny he tries to come up with that number, because when you look at what Hinduism, or you look at what the New Age movement, they believe everybody's God. So they believe in, you know, over six billion gods, you know? So he just comes up with these things, which is kind of interesting. But his argument where he states, you know, there's people that believe in, 3,000 gods, and you don't believe in 2,999 of them, and either do I. I just don't believe in one more than you. And then his atheistic fans in the crowd clap as though that's a powerful argument. And I thought about, man, that is a very, very weak argument. It's almost like saying, let's say, people are trying, there's a guy that just doesn't believe that the Mona Lisa was painted. He believes it was an explosion at a print shop, and he doesn't believe anybody could have painted it. And somebody says, well, you're saying that there's nobody that exists? Well, no, I'm more of an agnostic like that. I mean, we don't know for sure, but I know somebody didn't paint that. And then they say, well, how do you know someone didn't paint it? I mean, look at all the design that's gone into this painting. And then he says, well, you know what? There's some people that believe that 30,000 people painted that thing. And you know what? I just believe, you believe that 2,999 of them did it, and just Da Vinci did, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, I just believe in one more person didn't paint it. And then his friends go, yeah, great point. No, that's not a great point, because you're looking at a painting there that begs the question. There had to be a painter, you know? So it's actually a ridiculous point. When you look at if you look at Mona Lisa, the painting, it's far less likely that the universe popped into existence out of nothing with all its great grandeur and order and real living people, not just paintings with a little bit of paint, representing a person. It's far more likely that the Mona Lisa paint came into existence through paint that already existed at a paint shop blowing up than it would be the universe popping out of nothing. So if we all know and we look at the painting, we say, hey, when there's a painting, there's a painter. When there's a building, there's a builder. When there's a universe, there's a universe maker. There's the prime mover. So that argument, and it just breaks your heart, because there's people just hoping that they can. I think this is cool. This is the cool part about it. These are their strongest arguments.
Yeah,
I mean, these get regurgitated. You know, it's crazy. It's like, wow, these arguments that, well, if you don't believe in 2,999 of them, well, just can't you just say there's one less and then just come with me and be an atheist? And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's similar to somebody coming to me and be like, well, Chad, you're not really married. You know, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, there's billions of women around the world. And, you know, you just have one less, you know. I'm like, no, I'm married to my wife, and there is one creator. And guess what? I get to actually know him. It isn't a guest. And I know Colbert is sitting over there. Oh, yeah, yeah. When he's saying we're all agnostic. No, we're not. Jesus came that we may know him, and we know eternal life, and then we know we have eternal life. It isn't something that I just go, oh, you know, I'm going to make this Pascalian wager. Which, I mean, it's not a bad argumentation, but I'm not just going to make a Pascalian wager and be like, oh, I know what I can have. No, the fact is, I know Jesus. I know who lives inside of me. I think it's absolutely just a dumb point. It really is.
Yeah, it's a silly point at best. There's another one. We want to play another thing. The very second after that, he launches into another ridiculous argument.
Do you ever have a feeling of great gratitude for existence?
Of course.
I know the
chances are billions to one that I am on this planet as me and never will be again.
And I know I can't convince you that there is a God, nor do I really want to convince you there's a God, but
no.
I can only explain my experience, which is that I have a strong desire to direct that gratitude toward something or someone.
Of course.
And that thing is God.
We're mortal. We want to make sense of nature and science, and it's too unfathomable that everything in the universe was once crunched into something smaller than an atom.
But you don't know that.
Well,
you're just believing Stephen Hawking, and that's a matter of faith in his abilities.
Yeah, yes.
You don't know it yourself. You're accepting that because someone told you.
Yeah, well, but science is constantly proved all the time. You see, if we take something like any fiction, in any holy book, in any other fiction, and destroyed it, okay, in 1,000 years' time, that wouldn't come back just as it was. Yes. Whereas if we took every science book,
yes,
right, and every fact, and destroyed them all, in 1,000 years, they'd all be back, because all the same tests would be the same result.
That's good. That's really good.
So we
That's
don't.
Really good.
I don't need faith in science. I don't need faith to know that probably if I jump out of a window, every other time someone jumped out, they smash to the ground because of this.
So let me wow. get this straight, because the laws of nature are constant and testifiable. Therefore, I don't even know what he's getting at there. Because they're constant, because there's a law there, there's obviously no lawgiver. What do you think?
Okay, take his argument and say, you know, he's basically saying, hey, if you just start it over and there are no books at all, you know, and then just let's start it all over, you know, in 1,000 years' time, what are we going to have, you know? Well, guess what? People are going to observe the same thing. So you're going to have a lot of the same science and so forth. But, well, yeah, if everything was created, you're going to have people reporting on what God created. You have a lot of creationists. You're still going to have even a country like the United States, which has been brainwashed through all these different programs that are and the government schools constantly pummeling young people and the masses, the TV shows and everything else and nature programs and so forth. Even though they're being pummeled day and night with this atheistic type propaganda that everything came in by chance, guess what? They're still like 88% of people or so in the United States that still believe in God because evidence is so powerful. But what he's saying, though, is that, hey, you're still going to have, you know, people believing the same kind of science and so forth, but you're not going to have the same religious books. Well, guess what? If you have a priori atheistic, naturalistic, strictly materialistic mindset, you might be able to come to that conclusion, but that's based on your priori bias. Let's check this out. Guess what? If the same thing happened all over again, guess what? You'd have much of the same stuff. You know why? Because guess what? God created us, and people would still have a vacuum in their hearts, and they'd still be prone to idolatry because they'd want to worship something, but they would tailor it according to their own lust, to their own flesh, and so forth. So you'd have all these idolatrous religions going on, and people building temples and idols to false gods and everything else, because God created eternity in our hearts, and we have a desire. We know deep down we should worship. So you still have all kinds of pagan books. They might be written a little bit differently, inspired by different demons or what have you, but guess what? You'd also have. You'd have the revelation from the one true God. Yeah. You'd have a temple in Jerusalem that God sets up that would be different than all the temples in the Ain or the ancient Near Eastern community around them where they all have idols. And you'd walk into that temple, you see no God. He said, don't create an image of me. I've created everything, you know. And then guess what? You'd have revelation from God. You'd have the word of God. God would reveal himself through his word. God would become flesh because he would come to redeem us. And you'd have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you'd have the celebration of his birth and his coming into the world. You'd have eschatology and prophecies that have come to pass. Scores and scores and scores of prophecies that have come to pass because God would reveal himself again. And you'd have most of humanity by far and away looking at the creation around them, screaming at them that there's something far bigger than them. So you'd have theism all over again. And it would dwarf atheism even in a self-centered society and world. So his argument just gets pummeled into the ground.
Yeah, I think it's a poor argumentation, but you know what? This is what happens though. And the problem is that people hear these things and the first one that delivers his case and pleads it sounds right until someone comes up and smashes it with a hammer.
Yeah, and the sad thing too is a lot of people watch this show, you know, and they're like, they see this going on. They're like, oh, who is this guy? They start looking into him and oh, he's conservative. Oh, he came against Hollywood, you know, came out against the Hollywood crowd. Then they start getting to his junk and then he leads them away from God. So you got to be very, very careful. You got to watch out for the conservative talking heads who seem to make some points that you'd agree with and don't start to rally toward them because there's seductive spirits on both sides of the aisle. Stick to Jesus, stick to his word, and our lives are short. Hold on to Jesus. Keep close to him.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.